Well, good morning. Welcome. Glad to have you here today. For all you watching online, glad you are watching and engaging with us. If you didn't catch it by the way we worship this morning, we're talking about a kingdom that's not here. We're talking about the kingdom of God, and we have worshiped the King, and we've made it all about the King. And so I've noticed this morning, my goodness, my phone just started blowing up this morning. People are sick and not able to come, and this week. So I'm going to start off a little differently, because I don't know what you're going through, but I know it's really important that God has something to say to us today in His Word. So I'm just gonna ask us that we just pray for a moment, and we just ask God to really help us. I know we got a lot going on. I know you have a lot facing in your life right now. Could we just ask our King to do that for us and just meet us here in a real way in His Word? Jesus, You are our King, and we ask You to meet us now in Your Word. I know we got a lot going on. There's a lot happening in our days. There's a lot of things that happened this week that we didn't tell anybody else about. They're really weighing heavy on our heart. And it's hard for us. It was hard for us to walk in this morning. Some of us didn't even walk in this morning. We're just better at home. And I thank You for those at home that You would speak to them as well. Your Word is powerful. Your Word speaks into our lives. And we ask It to do it so now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So we are in Matthew chapter 6, the entire Sermon on the Mount. It's 5 through 7, and we're just taking this a chapter at a time throughout the falls of each year and looking at one. So we're in Matthew chapter 6, and last week was all about never miss the invitation to King to share your heart with Him. That's what we saw last week. Don't be, right? Jesus is like, no, don't be like that. Don't be like the actors. You're not putting on a show. You're not showing everybody how spiritual you are. Don't go babbling like all these other situations in Scripture where they kept saying the same thing over and over again for hours and hours and hours. Forget all that. Share your heart with the King. The King wants to know what's on your heart. Now, this is a really familiar passage this morning. You're like, okay, this is the Lord's Prayer. Some of you grew up in churches that this is what you said every Sunday. You're like, well, I know all about this. Except I want you to see what Jesus does today. There's a reason that the Lord's Prayer is the way it is, the way He teaches it, the way He talks about it. And perhaps today we're going to engage in something that you didn't know that Jesus made sure was an emphasis when He taught them this way to pray, right? So pray this way. Now, a lot of us think, I did for years, that this is the way that Jesus did it. You can look in the book of Luke, it's the same way. Disciples go, hey, John taught us how to pray, you teach us how to pray. And so we conclude that the next section is everything that Jesus gave them is the way to pray. What's interesting is, and I did not know this, okay, the Jews prayed a prayer called the Amidah every day at noon. Okay, and in fact, I'm going to give you that in one of the oldest versions we have of it. I'm going to give you that prayer, and you're going to see how similar it is, except there's one big difference. There's a huge difference that we're going to be invited into today. So, in other words, here's what I think Jesus is doing. There's no magic formula, guys. I know you're like, okay, what will make God do what I want Him to do, right? How can I pray in such a way that God will do what I want Him to do? And He's like, no. So he tells them, he goes over this prayer, except there's a big difference, and we're going to see, because it's going to help us to understand what Jesus really believes is important, and do we believe the same thing's important? So here's what I'm going to give you right now. I'm going to give you one of the oldest ones we archaeologists have discovered and uncovered as an Amidah prayer. Okay, here it goes. Our Father, the one who dwells in heaven, may your name be holy. May your kingdom come as we do your will here on earth as it's done in heaven. Give us today the bread of today and deliver us from the evil one. Cursed be he. Now, am I the only one? I like that last part, okay? I might like to add that in. Cursed be he. I mean, that's just great, okay? That's just wonderful. That's their prayer. That's the Amidah prayer. That's one of the oldest ones we found. They've added to that. I'm just going to warn you, if you Google it, you could like find 5-page Amidah prayers, okay? They've just added to this. But this is one from the time of Jesus. In other words, guys, I know you're looking for a formula. No. In fact, I'm going to teach you what's important. So now, as we go through this, and I want to just take our time walking through this prayer that we all understand what we're praying about in this idea. So this is a part of our prayer life every day, these things, Jesus says it's really important, and I want you to notice the big difference as well. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. The word there, honored, hallowed, is the old King James Version. If you've ever in your scriptures, you were reading and you came across the word sanctified, that's this word. Okay, but we don't translate it that here because may your name be sanctified. We're like, oh, that doesn't, right? That would be weird. But it's may your name be holy, set apart, different. That means, Father, I'm going to use your name differently than I use any other name. I'm not going to curse your name. I'm just not going to babble your name. I'm just not going to say it over and over again. Your name is set apart. It is holy, and I'm going to treat it as holy. That's how we should approach God. You are holy, and you have invited us to pray to you. That's awesome. You want to know our hearts. You want to know our needs, and you are invited us. So your name is set apart. It is different. Now, in our culture, I just find it always interesting that we are the only, for some reason, the only one that, the only God that gets, we're going to say, cursed at is our God. You ever notice that? OMG's a thing. I want to know where OMB's coming in, okay? Oh my Buddha, okay? That's what I want to know. Where's that coming in, okay? Nobody says that. Why? I don't know. But for some reason, we think the name of God is something to be cursed. The name of Jesus is something to be cursed. And he's inviting us to say, no, no, no. My name is holy. It is set apart. And I want you to honor my name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we want what happens in heaven, the rule and reign of God, we want that here. We want his will to be done in our lives. We want his kingdom to be a part of our lives. We want to be about the things that God says we should be about in his kingdom. And we want his will to be carried out and done in our lives. In other words, I don't live to do whatever I want and then say, God, just bless it. God, just bless it. That's how we do things quite often. We just live, we do whatever we want to do, and then we just ask God to bless it. Why do we do that? Because this prayer says, no, I want the kingdom of God to come. So Jesus, as I walk into work today, would you help me bring the kingdom? Would you help me to do your will? God's will at work? I don't know how that works. Well, how it works is, what has he asked you to do there? How's he asked you to work? How's he asked you to be an employee? How's he asked you if you're a boss, if you're in charge of people? How has he asked you to be in charge of those people? That's kingdom come, will be done. I'm not just here doing because I got the HR handbook and this is the way I'm supposed to do it. No, no, no. I understand your rules, but I want the kingdom to come and God's will to be done here. So how do I carry that out everywhere? How do I carry out at school? How do I carry out at work? How do I carry out in my home? Okay, it's not just we come to church and we pray that his kingdom would come here, his will would be done here, but I'm just going to go out and do my own kingdom. I like my kingdom. I like the kingdom where I rule and reign and get whatever I want. No, I renounce that kingdom, and I ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. I want heaven to be a part of my home, and I want that will, the will of Jesus, to be done there and to be carried out there. Give us today our daily bread. What you're asking for every day is that God will provide exactly what you need for that day. That's the basic essence of this prayer. God, give me what I need for today. So you're opening up the word. You're like, why am I in Isaiah? And you're reading this passage. And, oh, because I needed that word for today and what's happening and what's going on. This is the way God loves to work. Give me what I need today to survive. So you get a phone call from somebody out of the blue and there's like, oh, how you doing? Just wanted to reconnect with you. Like, wow, that was nice. You needed that for something else that was going to happen in your day. And that's what we're praying. We're asking God, give me what I need today the most to do what you've called me to do. You know what's coming. You know what's heading my way. You know what things are coming next. So I need you to provide me exactly what I need for today. The problem is sometimes God gives us things and we're like, why did you give us that? Because it's what we need. It's what we need. It's the substance that we need to help us with whatever we're facing in that day. So what happens if we start our day and we just ask, Lord, whatever's coming today, and you know what it is, would you give me everything I need today to be able to live in that, to be able to face that, to be able to respond to that, to be able to go through that? Would you give me what I need today? I can't tell you, sometimes, you know, when I'm in the car, I will have 107 on, and I can't believe how many testimonies are that way. Gosh, I was going through this hard time, and this song came on, and the song had the perfect message from Scripture that said exactly what. Well, that's God just giving you your daily bread. That's God giving you your daily bread. Oh, I know exactly what you need. And you're going to be at the car at the perfect time. And I'm just going to plan all this out beforehand. And I'm sovereign over all. So you're going to get exactly what you need at that right moment for what you need to sustain for the day that you are approaching. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. You're going to catch this theme. I'm going to skip over this for just a moment. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Cursed be he. I'm just going to add that, okay? I'm just going to add that in. I love that, right? Because we don't know sometimes how we are going to approach, how the enemy is going to end up in our lives on that day. We don't know what the temptation is going to be. We don't know what we're going to face. That's going to be this decision, whether we're going to do things God's way or the enemy's way, okay? So lead us. I need you to lead me. I need you to lead me to what I need. Deliver me from those moments that I am weak and need protection, and so that I am not going into sin. I am not leaving your will. Would you just lead me in my days so I'm going in the right direction, doing the right things that you have called me to do? If you haven't catched from the Amidah prayer to this one, Jesus is going to make it really clear. It's forgiveness. And we're going to talk about why it's forgiveness here in a moment. But the last two verses, right after he finishes this, for if you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. I don't know if you've actually read that. That verse ought to scare you, okay? It should. It should just make you think, oh, how good am I at forgiving? How good am I? How well do I do this forgiveness thing? How much is it a part of my life that I am forgiving others because I am a forgiven person? Jesus forgives us for our sins, and then he looks around and he says, now are you forgiving others? So if you catch it, the one that wasn't in the original Amidah prayer, the one that Jesus adds in and then makes sure, oh, by the way, just so you guys don't miss it, I'm going to emphasize it even more, is this idea of forgiveness. That the entire thing of his prayer is this idea of forgiveness. Of forgiveness. Do you know why I think it is? Because in the Jewish world, forgiveness was God's job. That was God's job. Oh, I don't have to forgive you. That's God's job. God will forgive you. Okay, you just pray to God. God will forgive you. That's God's job. That's God's responsibility. Okay, and you remember, they get after Jesus for this all the time. Well, you can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. So why is he making this emphasis here about forgiveness? When the original, they would have said, Jesus, that's not in there. Okay? Forgiveness isn't in there. That's God's job. I shouldn't have to worry about this thing called forgiveness, right? God's got to be responsible for that. So why does he do this? I'm going to give you two reasons. I'm going to focus on the second one even more. The first one, I think, is life in the kingdom. We are invited to partner with God in forgiveness. We are invited to be a part of that forgiveness by forgiving those who have sinned against us. That we're invited into that partnership. God's like, do you understand? I want to invite you into that. That you can experience, and it's going to be my second point here in a moment, you can experience what I do when I forgive. What happens with forgiveness that we desperately, desperately need in our lives. And that's number two. Life in the kingdom is a life of freedom. Life in the kingdom is a life of freedom. I want to approach the whole idea of forgiveness now as this, as the idea of God providing freedom, and he wants us to experience that freedom in our life in perhaps some areas that we haven't experienced it before. because we haven't done that part of the prayer where we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. We've not done that. It's been hard. It's been a struggle. We can talk about all the reasons why, but we've struggled with that. And so it is a life of freedom. And I want you to see this, okay? I want you to know that everything that God commands and urges us to do is for our good and his glory, including forgiveness. That's what you need to understand. It is for our good. He has something good in store for us. And it is for his glory. He is going to get glory from this. You hear these stories all the time. Perhaps you've seen these before where things happen and people are able to forgive. And people hear this and go, how are you able to do that? How can you do that? How can you forgive that person? Do you know what they do? And who gets the glory in all of it? God does. It's not individuals say, see how great of a person I am? I'm able to forgive. They're like, no, I couldn't do this without God. So everything is for our good and for God's ultimate glory. So when he says something, you're like, oh man, I want to do that. It's for your good and it's for his glory. Those are really important to remember, that everything he asks us to do are going to fulfill those two things. They're going to be for your good and for God's glory. So I want you to know, the first time we're told in Luke 4 that Jesus walked into the synagogue at Nazareth. Now, the synagogue, Jesus was handed a scroll. He opens it up and he reads this verse: to decree the release of captives and the freeing of prisoners. And it says when he was done, he rolls up the scroll, he hands it back to the person in charge of the scrolls, and he says, today this has been fulfilled in your sight. And they didn't all stand up and applaud. Okay, that's what you need to know. Okay, Luke says they were so angry about it because nobody's ever done that. Nobody read it and said, oh, by the way, I'm here to fulfill this now. Nobody did that. And they were angry. We're going to kill you angry at him for doing that. Because nobody can claim to do that. Nobody. That's blasphemy. You can't say that you're gonna do that. And he declares that right from the beginning. And you need to know, one of the things Jesus does over and over again is he releases captives and he frees prisoners. Over and over again. In all sorts of different ways. Oh, you're a captive to being blind. I'm going to free you from that. You're a captive to leprosy, and you're off in this colony all by yourself, and you've been set apart from your family, and you can't be with them, and you got to tell everybody you're unclean. I'm going to free you from that. There he goes, freeing, and he's also freeing people from unforgiveness and inviting them into being set free. Being set free, because what we don't think about is that unforgiveness is a prison. You and me, we are prisoners. We don't use that language very often with unforgiveness. But that's why Jesus came, to set people free. To set us free from this thing called unforgiveness, where we are a prisoner, set in a prison of totally our own resort. One of the movies I love that I will watch and Jill will be like, oh gosh, not again. Not again. Came out in the early 2000s, and it's Jim Caviezel starring, and it's a remake of a book and an older film called The Count of Monte Cristo, and in it, Edmund is. He is so steeped in unforgiveness. He's got it all planned out. He gets all the money he needs, and he goes after his enemies. After his enemies. And this is after time in prison. He's already been in prison. He's escaped from prison. On the prison wall was this phrase that God will give me justice. Okay? And he gets out of prison, right? And he goes right back into it. That's what we find out from the movie. He's still in prison because he's all out for vengeance. And finally in the movie, he is encountered, and he makes this statement, and he says, don't rob me of my hate. It's all I have. I'm like, oh, that's incredible. He's still in prison. And at the end of the movie, they smartly, the filmmakers, go right back to, God will give me justice. They go right back to that framing of the wall of the prison, because he's finally out of prison. He's finally understanding that God does bring justice. That's not our job. That's his. And he's finally out of the prison of unforgiveness. And I love it because it shows you that. You think he's escaped, but he's really a prisoner the whole time. A prisoner of the hate that he doesn't know what to do with because of how wronged he's been in his life. And that's what I want you to understand. The unforgiveness we have is making us a prisoner. You're in prison. And what's worse is you're in prison and the door's like open. Okay, it's open. And you're just being invited. Come on, walk out of there. Just walk out of there. You're in there by yourself. You've done this to yourself. You've imprisoned yourself. And Jesus is trying to invite us. Just come out of the prison. Come on. Walk out. Nobody's holding you in there. You're holding yourself in there because of what has happened to you. And I know, I have to clarify this all the time. When you forgive someone, you are not saying that what they did was okay. In fact, you're saying just the opposite. You sinned against me so grievously, I have to forgive. I have to forgive. I have to, or I'm going to be stuck in that prison for the rest of my life because I can't let it go. The longer you hold on, the more bitter you get, the more you never want to see that person. Okay, you are not saying what they did was okay. You're saying the exact opposite. I was sinned against. I was hurt. Jesus is not saying all relationships will be reconciled. You can go to Matthew 18, and Jesus is up front. Hey, there's a process, but there's relationships that might never be reconciled. It doesn't matter, as we're going to get to here in a moment. It doesn't matter if this morning you're discovering that the prison you are in of unforgiveness is due to somebody who is dead. That doesn't matter. Because it's not about them, it's about you. And it's about the prison you're in and the prison Jesus wants to set you free from. And we have lots of reasons and lots of excuses why we don't forgive. And most of them are we just don't understand what Jesus is inviting us into. You're not saying what happened was okay. You're not just letting, No, you're actually saying the opposite. You're saying the opposite. So let me hit some of this. And then I want to invite us to do something. If you remember, and if you're at home, you'll have an easier time doing this. You remember I asked you to bring your Bible, a journal, something to write into. And you'll see that here in a moment, what we're going to do. But Jesus' kingdom is where forgiveness flows from the throne to all who enter. Jesus, that's the way into the kingdom is what? Forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? We come to the king. We have sinned. We are a sinner. We are a dead person walking. And he forgives us and he redeems us and he restores us. So in Jesus' kingdom, that's the only way in is forgiveness. That's the only way you and I are in the kingdom. It's not because we're nice and good and smart and we go to church all the time and we sing all the right songs and we try to be good. No. I get into the kingdom because I am forgiven by the king and my sins are taken away. So those in Jesus' kingdom are asked to follow. Hey, follow the king. You're only in here because you were forgiven. The only reason you're in here is because you're forgiven. So I'm going to ask you in turn to forgive the people who have sinned against you. That's what I'm going to ask you to do because that's what my kingdom's about. It's about forgiveness. It's about forgiveness. So, today's the day. Whether you knew that or not, October 1st is a great day, 2023. For you to do that. Now, if you have your Bible, journal, something to write in, I would just ask you not to do this electronically because the moment you do, your phone will blow up and it didn't make it to the cloud, so you know you'll never see it again. There's something about writing a commitment down in a place where you're going to see it. So I'd encourage you to do that in Bible. If you need to leave yourself a note because you're like, oh, I missed that part. I missed that part last week. I was supposed to do what? It's okay. So this is about a record. A record. Because here's what happens. Here's where our enemy is so good. So you walk out today, okay, okay, I prayed, I feel good about it, I'm going to forgive this person. I'm going to forgive this person, I'm going to walk out, and something will happen, and Satan go, you didn't really forgive them. You didn't do that. Come on. Come on. You had something else going on in your mind. You didn't really forgive them. And we'll be challenged on whether or not we really did forgive them. And that's a great moment to flip the page in your Bible and go, yeah, well, right there was my commitment before my Heavenly Father that today, October 1st, 2023, was the day of the day forgiveness came and unforgiveness left. I'm telling you that is going to be a huge moment to go back to when you're facing the enemy who's saying, I don't think you really forgave. I don't know if you really, no, there's my commitments. There is something powerful about writing things down at times to making a commitment to say, on this day, I did this. On this day, I forgave this person. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if that person's dead. It doesn't. This is about you being set free from the prison you were in. I know you could tell me all your stories about things that have happened to you. I know. This is a broken, fallen world, and people do horrible, terrible, awful things to each other. And many of you know that firsthand. And you can set in that. Or you can, as Peter said, Jesus just handed over justice into God's hand. He just gave it to the God who judges justly. And he chose even on the cross to say, Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they've done. I'm guessing perhaps most of the people you need to forgive have no idea what they've done to you. They don't. They might still be stuck in that. And it's not about you going talking to them. This is about you today being right with your Heavenly Father and you stepping out of that prison of unforgiveness. It's about you being released from that. So, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. It's going to be a song playing in the background. And that's what I'm going to invite you to do. Take your Bible, your journal. If you don't and you need to, man, I need to write that down later, then leave yourself a note, okay? Leave yourself a note somewhere on your phone, that's fine, on something, and make a commitment. Today is October 1st, 2023. I am forgiving, fill in the blank. Make it real simple. And today's the day that you're walking out of the prison of unforgiveness. So, let me pray for us, and then we're going to take these 2 minutes, and I'm going to encourage you to write this down today. Jesus, we long for your kingdom to come, and part of that kingdom coming is forgiveness. We are not in the kingdom unless we are forgiven by you. And it took your death and resurrection to secure that forgiveness. You died in our place so that we could be forgiven. And I pray that none of us just gloss over that. And we have in turn been sinned against. Sometimes in horrible, unthinkable ways. But today is the day where Jesus, in your kingdom, you set captives free. And we want to be free from that prison of unforgiveness. We're just sitting there all by ourselves. The door's unlocked. The only way out is to forgive. So in these moments, would you bring to mind the person we most need to forgive? And may this be our prayer and our commitment in this moment. The forgiveness starts now, and we walk out of the prison into the freedom that you've given to us, all for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.